once again, it is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to everybody. If anybody's listening online or here in person saying, I'm single and I don't have a Valentine, well, the Lord loves you more than anybody will ever love you, right? So don't think that today can't be a day for you as well. We're going to be Matthew chapter 10 to start with. We're going to continue, since we missed last week due to the weather, and the week before that we were online. We had our second sermon in this series. This will be our third message in this series, talking about the conditions of salvation. So let's do, since it's been a minute, let's do a really quick review. We started off talking about faith being a condition for salvation, but also being the means by which we are saved, right? We are saved by faith and faith alone. However, does not mean that there's not any other conditions that need to be in place for salvation to become a reality in our lives. Talked about faith being not only receiving the information intellectually and knowing the truth or the gospel message, but also putting your faith and your trust in Christ as Lord. Those two together are what constitutes a saving faith. And then we talked about repentance. And I think I remember the first message about faith, I warned you that we were going to talk about repentance and for y'all not to stay home. And then we had to go to only online service because of the weather. And there wasn't nobody in here. It was just a few people. But we talked about repentance and how that we're not saved by our repentance, the act of repentance, right? We're not saved by works. But we do need to repent, because if the genuineness of our faith and our trust in Christ is in fact genuine, if it's a reality, then a desire to repent, stop being an offender of God, right, and turn into a different direction, walking with Christ, should be in place, should be something that we decide to do. So repentance, therefore, would be, and we showed a bunch of scripture. If you missed it, just go back. It's online. It's all online, YouTube or to Facebook. You can find it and catch up. It's important to know all of these things, and all of these messages will go together for a complete understanding of the conditions for salvation. So most of you, maybe here in the building, maybe some of you online are saying, well, I'm already saved. How does this apply to me? Because we all need to know how to share this with other people. We need to know how to explain to those who aren't saved what is going on in the process of salvation, and how do we genuinely come to salvation should we decide that that's what we want to do based on what Jesus did on the cross. Because we had that opportunity when someone shared the gospel with us. When I say we, I mean those of us who are saved by faith. So faith and then repentance, and now we move into what we can describe as confession of faith. Right? Some people might confuse this with confession of your sins, or confession, like standing up in front of people and confessing all of your sins, which is not necessary. If you don't understand why that's not necessary, then we need to study the book of Hebrews, because that tells us why that's not necessary, which is a great book to study, because if you ever want to have a reason to shout and a reason to say hallelujah and praise God, Hebrews will be the one, right? Along with the rest of the Bible, of course. I know y'all been down for 2 weeks, been away from here, but the amens are still valuable. Just to let you know. Not because I need them, because I want you to be engaged and I want you to get what the Lord has for you this morning. So now we're going to talk about confession of faith. The best way to describe what this is to read Matthew chapter 10. Read Matthew chapter 10. There's power in the button right here. Turn it on and it works, right? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 and 33. This is Jesus teaching, and it's pretty serious. He says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." I think, and maybe I'm... maybe I have not the best perspective, but I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Sometimes I hear statements, especially in Jesus' teaching, that I think don't really need a lot of explanation. The problem is, for when we're living in sin, like all of us have, and maybe still are, we're living in the darkness. And we don't either want to hear the truth or can't see the truth until someone helps us, shares it with us, until light comes in the room and makes it, oh, well, that's obvious. Because before I was saved, because y'all know I haven't always been a preacher, and I haven't always been saved, these two verses meant nothing to me. Because I wasn't committed to Christ. I had not put my faith in Christ. I wasn't even aware of the danger that lies in these two verses for my life, because I had no reason to want to go and find out what Jesus had to say about anything before I was saved. Right? But when I started seeking the truth and started reading His Word and come across these verses, it's like, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And then verse 33 is the opposite side of that coin. If you don't acknowledge him, then he won't acknowledge you. Well, I thought everybody, that God loved everybody. That's pretty harsh. There are conditions, remember, for receiving the grace that God has offered. Right? It's on His terms. We don't get to lay out the terms by which we get to be with God for eternity. We don't even deserve to even have a conversation about how those terms are going to be. And that's what we're talking about. Do you want to put your faith in Christ? If you do, then these are the things that will happen because of your faith being put in Christ. So I can't say to my wife, will you marry me? And then she says yes. And then everywhere we go for the rest of our life, I don't acknowledge her as my wife. Right? We go out in public and I just don't even introduce her to people. And somebody says, is that your wife? Nope, it's not my wife. But then when I get home, I want her to act like my wife. That doesn't work. That's not genuine love, is it? There's a problem there. A big disconnect there. That doesn't happen, by the way, y'all. So we're not going to have a leadership meeting after church, right? We don't have no issues there. We are those of us who are believers are the body of Christ. We are described in Scripture as being the bride of Christ. Obviously, Christ being the groom. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, if you love me, if you consider yourself my follower, then there should be no reason why you could not acknowledge me in any public forum, anywhere, anyhow, at any time. Right? He says, if you don't acknowledge me, I will not acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. Once again, we got to go back to Hebrews, don't we? Because Hebrews tells us that we have an open door to the Father, and we can only come to Him through Christ. Because Christ, the righteousness of Christ, is what covers our sinfulness. Because we've put our faith in that, in what happened on the cross. You see how it all comes together. The problem is, if we are ashamed to say that we're Christians, or to say that Jesus is the Lord, or to praise God in public places, what's wrong? There's something wrong in here. Make sense? All of us who are saved, I believe, have a burning desire to be bold for Christ and to be a witness to others so that they might get saved. Our biggest problem in this part of the world is we've been so spoiled because we've never been persecuted, we've never been challenged, that it's very hard for us to talk about God in front of people because we want our friends to continue to be our friends and our family members to continue to be our family members. And we know that if we say something about God or Jesus to somebody who doesn't believe, we're running the risk of losing that relationship. It's been that way since I've been around anyway, which isn't that long. I imagine it's been that way since the beginning of the church. How do I know that? Because we study the book of Acts and we see people almost getting killed and sometimes getting killed because they say Jesus is Lord. Because they confess their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. Right? It's one thing to say, I believe, to yourself. It's one thing to sit down and read the Bible and say, oh yeah, I believe this. All this is true. But don't never leave the house and act like it's true and live like it's true and help other people know that it's true. Make sense? I think our revival preacher this past fall, but the fall before, preached a sermon and said something. Kurt Honeken was here. And he said something to the effect that how much do you have to hate someone not to share Christ with them? Trying to get our attention to say, if you really love Jesus and love people, you will share Christ and you will proclaim Christ in your life. Make sense? It's the best gift you can give anybody. And it's the best gift you can give the one who died for you. Right? Because whenever we fail to confess, we end up like Peter. In the most crucial moment. Hey, you were hanging out with Jesus. Oh no, I don't know that dude. I wasn't with him. To the point where the third time he denied Christ, he got frustrated and mad about it. He's like, leave me alone, I don't know the guy. I told you I don't know the guy. Get away from me. After he's practically swore he would never deny Jesus. Right? So be careful that we're saying amen because we know it's true, but be careful that we're not saying amen and then going out and failing at being who we are. Because it's about publicly saying words, and we're going to see that in here in just a minute if I can get through this beginning part. But it's more than about saying words, isn't it? If your life does not look like the life of Christ, if your life does not look like somebody died for you and you're saved by the blood of Christ and you've put your faith in Christ and what you do is strive to live the life that Jesus died for, if people don't see that, saved or not saved, then you are not acknowledging Jesus. Make sense? Love you and the Lord loves you, but that's the way it is. It makes sense. So look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 through 10. He says this, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is why it's a condition for salvation. Says it right there in the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans. He's saying a condition for salvation is that you proclaim that Jesus is Christ, is Lord, and that you believe it in your heart. You've put your faith in that he's resurrected from the dead, which makes him Lord and Savior, which makes him God. You're not saved by your confession. Just because you stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is Christ, that's not what saves you. You're saved because you've made a decision to trust him and submit to him as Lord and Savior. That's how you're saved. But because you're saved like that, you repent, you stop living against God, and you proclaim the truth of Jesus as Lord in your life. Get it? That's the reason why when people come before a congregation or before other believers and they say, I want to be saved, well, we make sure they understand this whole process. And we say to them, let's stand up and tell the church, let's tell the world that you believe. And we take their confession of faith. And because people are nervous and they don't know how to do that, you know, people are more afraid of dying than speaking in front of people. It's just the way it is. So one of the church leaders will get up and lead them in that confession. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? I do. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Do you accept him as Lord and Savior? I do. I accept him as Lord and Savior. Right in front of the whole church, in front of all the believers that are around. Whether it's 3 or 4 or 100. That's their first confession of faith. And if for some reason a person says, I want to be saved, but I don't really want to talk about it. There's a problem there, isn't there? There's a problem at the faith part of it. There's a problem at the part where Jesus saves us, which is where we decide to put our faith in Him as Lord and Savior and trust and submit to that. So what does it mean? These are good scriptures. Write these down. No one who denies the Son has the Father, right? Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Same thing you said, same thing we read in Matthew chapter 10, right? He says, whoever denies the Son, no one who denies the Son has the Father. You don't have Christ, you don't have salvation if you deny God. If you deny Christ, whoever acknowledges Son has the Father also. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all one and the same. And then in verse chapter 4 of the same letter, it says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. When Jesus was on his knees praying for the church and praying for the disciples and praying for himself before he was crucified, he was praying for you. He was praying that you and I and every other believer would be one with him like he is with the Father. I think it's John chapter 17. If you don't read that, if you're a believer and you read our Lord's prayer to our Father about us, if that doesn't bring tears to your eyes, that Jesus was talking about us to God, maybe we're not paying attention. So what does it mean? Here we are. What does it mean to confess that Jesus is Lord, or confess Him as Lord? So we, Romans chapter 3 will tell you that we acknowledge Him as our only Savior because of the work of the cross. No one else gave up their life on a cross and was resurrected from the dead by the Father. There were others who were crucified, but not resurrected from the dead. Jesus is Lord because He's the promised Messiah. Right? So that's what it means to confess. You're not just confessing that Jesus was a real person, not just confessing that Jesus was a good teacher of the law. You're confessing that Jesus is Lord. Came in the flesh for the purpose of dying on a cross to reconcile all of us to God, the Father, because He loves us. That's what you're confessing. Anything less than that, it's not a genuine confession, and it has no business in the part of salvation, and you got to go back to your faith. You're just confessing what your faith is saying, what you're doing with your faith. Then, in Matthew chapter 16, he says, we acknowledge Him of Him as the Son of God. There were way too many people then and people now that don't want to accept the fact that He was resurrected from the dead, or they don't want to accept the fact that He was God in the flesh. Because if you accept those two facts, then you have to accept the fact that He's the Savior of the world. And if you accept that fact, then you have to accept the fact that you have sinned and offended a holy God. And then you have to deal with that. And because we don't like to admit that we're guilty, and because we don't like to face the truth about ourselves, we try to change the reality of what Scripture says, or just dismiss Scripture altogether. It's just easier to dismiss Christ than to do anything else with Him, because we can't get around who He is. But once we come to terms with all of this, then we can put our faith in that, and then our desire is like, okay, I don't want to live in this condition anymore, so I'm just going to stop living as an offender of God, with His help, of course. And I don't know about you, but once I got saved, I couldn't stop talking about the Lord. I couldn't stop talking about Jesus everywhere I went. I didn't even know what I was talking about. But I just, every conversation I had with people right after I got saved, I was talking about Jesus. I've even had a few people back in those days say, not everything's about God, man. I was wearing people out. They're wrong, by the way. Everything is about God. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that's what happens when somebody gets saved. And it took some time for the Lord to calm that down and so He could use it properly. Y'all are like, I wish He would calm that down. here's something else. When to answer the question, what does it mean to confess Jesus as Lord? So here's some examples, right? Let's look at some examples from Scripture. Peter, what's known as his good confession in Matthew chapter 16, right? Who do you say? Here's what people say I am. Who do y'all say I am? That's what Jesus asked the disciples. And Peter, his knee-jerk reaction, he doesn't think about what he says. He just says what he thinks and what he feels. He's like, well, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. And he was right. Even though he didn't understand what he was saying totally, he was right. Then Timothy, of course, in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, you can see his confession. And John's confession in John chapter 18. And then Thomas's confession in John chapter 20. It's as simple as like, remember Thomas like, I'm not going to believe that till I see it. I need some evidence here. So Jesus, with all his grace and mercy and patience with people, praise the Lord, because we're people and we need it. Jesus walks up to us like, okay, put your hand in there. Put your hand in my side, see what you think. And as soon as he touched those wounds from the resurrected body of our Lord, Thomas said, what did he say? My Lord, my God. His confession that Jesus is who he is had been made. See what I'm saying? It's not always just about standing up in front of a church saying Jesus is Lord. It's subtle things in our life. It's how we live and how we interact. It's even our private relationship with our Lord. Sometimes a person's prayer life is all about what God's going to do for me and the list of things I want Him to do for my life and how I want Him to do it. Like it's some fast food drive-up window or something. And we hardly ever sometimes, get to, how can I serve you, Lord? How can I ever repay you for the grace that you've given me? Right? The best way I know to confess my faith is to be submissive and obedient to the one I call Lord. Because I can't run around saying I'm saved by the blood of Christ and then never do what Jesus tells me to do. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll what? You'll do what I say. You'll obey what I command. And way too many preachers and teachers are teaching something totally different than that. Right? The Christian life is all about changing and letting God change us and make us different, make us who He created us to be, make us who Jesus died for us to be. And that requires submission and sacrifice. It requires us living our lives, loudly confessing in all of our actions that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Because that's what we put our faith in, right? And we put our faith in that, and that's what saves us. So if that's what saves us, then our actions and our desires and our demeanor and our words should follow what we put our faith in. That's why it's a condition for salvation. Here's what we're actually confessing when we say Jesus is Lord, when our lives proclaim that Jesus is our Lord. We're confessing that His ownership, you and I and everyone else who accepts Jesus by faith as Lord, were purchased by the blood of Christ. That was the price that was paid for you to be reconciled to God. And anyone else in this world that would choose to receive it. So we are owned by Jesus. We don't like to think of that word, being owned by a person, being owned by someone else. We don't like to think of the word slavery, especially in today's culture. But that's what it is, and we need to accept that. I don't know about you, but I know who I used to be, and I know who I still am sometimes. I praise God that I'm His servant. That I didn't get left out. That He didn't leave me in that condition. Because before that, I was slave to everything else I gave my life to. And it owned me in a bad way. And it convinced me that I was in charge of self, and I was nowhere close to being in charge of self. Everything I surrendered to was my master. Praise God for the blood of Christ that allowed me to be free from that. The only way to be free from sin is to allow yourself to be purchased by the blood of Christ. So we're acknowledging that He's our Lord and that we're bought by His blood. And we acknowledge that He is God. He's fully divine. He's the Son of God. He's equal to God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. All one and the same. His authority is the same. Has to be, or his sacrifice means nothing. Because he's the only one that can be perfect as a human being. Isn't that great, y'all? Every time we say amen, we're confessing. Unless you say amen to something that's not true. Confessing must be public. Oh, here it comes. Here comes the rut in the road where we get stuck sometimes. Because a lot of people want to become believers. They want to be saved. They want all that comes with salvation. But because of our timidness and our desire to be loved by other people, right? And not be in front of other people and be persecuted, we kind of just want to quietly get saved. I don't know how many people have called me on the phone or some communicated with me some way or another, and they say, I was up late last night and I prayed a prayer and I got saved. But they're not running in the streets rejoicing. Right? In the wee hours of the night, they tried to do something to get saved and enter into some door that doesn't exist. And what this Bible is saying, that if you receive the truth by faith, you will go into the world and let everyone know. You know, he doesn't mean running up and down the streets preaching that Jesus is the Christ. He's meaning the way that you live, you don't hide from others. You live because Jesus is the Christ. You make sacrifices because Jesus is the Christ. You refuse to engage in the world in certain ways because it offends God, because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You love people that shouldn't be loved because of the way that they act, because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. You go to church. You go to Bible study. You pray for people and their salvation because Jesus is the Christ, and you put your faith in that. That's confession. And it's public. So you confess with your mouth, as Romans chapter 10 says. Matthew chapter 10, we've already started to read in the beginning. We confess it before men. So yeah, part of it is saying with words. Sometimes there's opportunities. You could be at a breakfast meeting, or you could be at a friend's house or a family member's house or some kind of business meeting. Or there's always opportunities for you to confess Christ to people. You don't have to preach sermons. You can just say something about what you know is true. Maybe it's that bad joke that somebody's telling at the office. Pretty good opportunity to say, you know what? I'm not going to be a part of that. It doesn't honor God. I love y'all, but I'm just not going to do it. You excuse yourself from that situation. You'd be surprised how far that would go in somebody's heart and what God would do to soften someone's heart for him. Just by lovingly rejecting what it doesn't honor him. That confesses Christ in your heart. In the presence of witnesses and even before Pilate. Jesus went before Pilate and he said, "Are you a king?" And he's like, "Well, you say I am, and I am. My kingdom is not of this world." He proclaimed, he confessed his faith in himself. He was like, "Yeah, this is who I am." He proclaimed who he was in front of even Pilate, the leader of the world, or one of the leaders in the world. Everywhere he went, he never denied who God sent him to the earth to be. So now we're back at Matthew chapter 10. I don't know how many people come to me. Next week we're going to talk about baptism. I don't know how many people come to me and they want to be baptized, but they don't really want to do it in front of the church. Kind of want to come here on a Thursday afternoon when nobody's around and be baptized that way. Think about what that means for your confession. Think about what that means. When do we confess? Right? I'm gonna finish up with this, and we'll get going on closing this around. When a person believes, when a person puts their faith in Christ, we go all the way back to the faith part of salvation. We go all the way back to there. If, like, okay, the Ethiopian is riding along, right? And he's reading out of Isaiah. And he hears the truth and he decides, I'm going to put my faith, I'm going to believe that this is true, and I'm going to act on that. I'm going to trust him as Lord and Savior. And eventually he gets to this point where, why shouldn't I be baptized? What's stopping me from being baptized? What's stopping me from following the Lord? So when you put your faith in Christ for salvation, that's the same moment that you decide to repent of being an offender of God. It's also the same moment that you decide to confess Christ. Not just in that moment, but for the rest of the life that you have in this world. There are so many people who were faithful believers that have lived their life and gone on to be with the Lord that are still witnessing to people in this world because of the legacy that they left behind in their faith. That their children and grandchildren talk about. And the people they went to church with, the people they served the Lord with in this world, talk about this guy right here or this lady right here. They were constantly serving people and they were constantly loving people. And so many people got to know the Lord. I know the Lord because of that person. And these people, all this community over here knows the Lord because of the way that person lived. Your entire life legacy is to be the confession of your faith. Right? Your children and grandchildren should be getting saved because of your confession of your faith and how it's been passed down from generation to generation. It's why our nation is in trouble today. Somewhere along the line, we stopped doing that. Somewhere along the line, we stopped passing it on to the children and the grandchildren so that they could have a solid foundation before they went into this world of wolves who follow Satan. And the moment they step out into it by themselves, they're overcome and they have no resource whatsoever. How do we battle that? We stand firm in what we believe. And we confess Christ in every moment. Make sense, y'all? It's hard. But look, if you understand what you're saved from and you understand how much God loves you, there's no choice to be made, is there? I would rather die than fail at this. The sad part is we fail all the time, don't we? We're not perfect at this. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus says, you're not going to be doing this by yourself. I will give you the Spirit of God to help you. That gives us boldness and confidence and reminds us of what we believe and where we put our faith and who our Lord is. And then we can stand firm. It must be done throughout the Christian life so that our loved ones will continue to have the resource to believe and also be saved. All right. So if we're saved by faith, how can confession be a condition? We always end each message with that question. Right? How can confession be a condition if we're saved by faith? I think I might have touched on that a little bit, but it's because of our faith that we decide to do these other things. And it doesn't make sense for us to say, I want to be saved, so I put my faith in Christ genuinely, but I don't really want to repent because I love living for myself and offending God, and I don't want to confess Christ because it embarrasses me. That doesn't sound right, does it? It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. It's not who we are. There was a man who was in his dying breath, guilty as guilty can be, and knew it. Looked at our Savior and said, will you please remember me? You remember him. Died right next to the Lord. Confessing Christ. Confessing his faith that he is the Lord. Right? So it's there. It's got to be. And Scripture tells us it's there. We've already read Scripture that says this is a requirement. This is something that's important. This is something that has to be done. Jesus himself says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before the Lord. There's nothing more important in a person's life than Jesus acknowledging them before God. It doesn't matter how great you become in this world and how happy and fat you get. If Jesus says, I don't know this person, that's bad. That's terrible. Can you imagine? How many people are going to leave this world and Jesus is going to say, I don't know that one. Never had any communications with that one. Matter of fact, I think that might have been one of those who rejected me. It's not because he doesn't love you, it's because you don't love him. I remember in my younger days as a Christian, I always got frustrated because how come, you know, the question kept being, how come I'm always the one that's wrong? How juvenile I was back then. The answer to that question ended up being because I'm not God and God is God. That's how come I'm always wrong, right? But praise the Lord, he allowed me to learn that lesson. Because I can't surrender to a Lord, a God, a Savior, if I continue to want to be God or want to be Lord of my life. And I won't confess Christ if I think that I'm in charge. And I certainly won't repent if I think that I'm in charge, because then I'll tell myself I haven't done anything wrong. Then I got problems in the faith area. You see how they're all connected? And there's plenty of scripture that leads. And just because scripture talks about faith and not these other things doesn't mean that these other things aren't attached as a condition. And just because they talk about this and not talking about faith doesn't mean that you're saved by the work, because you're not. Whoever disowns me before men will be disowned. One day somebody's going to end up in the presence of God and they're going to say in heaven, get away because we don't know you. I'm going to leave it right there as I close. You can read over that a little bit. It was only like two rabbit trails, y'all. I hope you get the picture. And I hope that if you're one who has been saved by the blood of Christ, that this is just a good reminder for you. Right? A wake up. Let's get it together. Make sure we're doing things the way that Jesus would have us do. And so that we can be an effective witness in the lives of other people, because people are dying every day and they're not saved. Maybe they might know the Lord because of your confession, of your faith. Because you're not afraid to say that Jesus is Lord of my life. You're not afraid to live like Jesus is Lord of your life. You're not afraid to help others understand and maybe even challenge a few people. Right? After all, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. He didn't say, sit in the pews and hope they come. Not meaning to be harsh, that's just the truth. And for the preachers in the world, if we think we're just going to preach every Sunday and they're just going to come, we ain't that special. We have to be living it. I was thinking about Valentine's Day just a moment ago before I came up here. I was thinking about my wife. She's the only person in this world that really knows, besides God, she's the only person that really knows if I'm living what I'm preaching. She knows when I'm failing. Make sense? And if she's the only person that knows that, because she's the only person that lives in my house with me. So I praise the Lord for her patience and her grace. Saved by faith, followed by repentance, followed by confession, public confession, automatically leads to baptism. Here we go. Next week, y'all. Why do I say it that way? Because every denomination that calls themselves Christian, that genuinely believes that Jesus is the Christ, everything I've been preaching about this series, we all agree that Jesus is the Christ. We all agree that He's God in the flesh. We all agree that His death, burial, and resurrection was for the salvation of man. When we start talking about baptism, we seem to go different ways. So next week, with God's help and God's strength, I'm going to be able to explain to you what the Bible says about baptism and how it is a condition for salvation. Not saved by baptism, condition, because of our faith. So I hope you at least tune in or join us here, because it's important to understand what we know the Bible says, right? So that we can properly share the gospel, so that people can have a genuine opportunity by faith to be saved by the blood of Christ. Isn't that what we want? I love you and the Lord loves you. If you have a decision to make today, you don't want to wait till next week. Now's the time. Right? Don't just sit back and say, oh, I got to wait till next week to make a decision. No, no, no. You ain't got to have a total understanding of Scripture to get saved. You just have to know that Jesus died for you and that you can be saved. Make sense? We'll help you along the way. That's what we're supposed to do.